proceed. Let's proceed now. All right, so now the Gemara is going further. Meitve is posing a question on Rav. So you see, right off the bat, that the Rav's point is a chiddush. It's not something which is taken for granted. We made that point yesterday. But the mere fact that Rav says it, that there's a necessity to make this modification of the Mishnah with regard to the Gemara Din, that the prohibition against the changing from Schus Techo was only during the Masu Matan and not in the Gemara Din, that itself tells you that there wouldn't be a Hamamina without Rav's point to say otherwise. But now you see that it is a controversy because the Gemara is actually challenging it. What's the challenge? So we learn from a Mishnah, L'machras Mashkimin. The next day, interesting, the next day, see, it's very terse, very brief. You have to figure out, next day, what was the first day? L'machras Mashkimin, they get up early, Uvoyin, and they come. Hamazake, Omer, the Mazake, what's the Mazake? Hey, hope you guys figured all of that. Right? If you, the Mazake says, Ani HaMazake, I am a Mazake. U'Mazake, Ani Vimkomi. And I'm still Mazake. I still retain my position. HaMachayev Omer, that's the one who found him guilty, says, Ani HaMachayev, I am someone who convicts, I find him guilty. U'Machayev Ani Vimkomi. And I retain my position. Hamalamed chov hamalamed chos, and then it tells us in this proceeding, one who was malamed chov can be malamed chos. Aval hamalamed chos, but one who was malamed chos, who ruled in favor of acquittal, eino yachol lachzor v'lulmos chova. He cannot change and be malamed chova. So the explanation is that L'macharos is talking about a situation where the court is leaning towards conviction. And we've learned already in the Mishnah that if it's a matter of acquittal, it can all be done on the same day. A trial can be begun and concluded on one day without a need for postponement on the condition that it's for acquittal. But if you can't achieve an acquittal on the first day and it's leaning towards conviction, so then you can't have the Gemara Din on the first day because it's a condition of the Gemara Din L'chov of conviction that there be what we refer to as Halonas Adin. Halona means to let it go overnight. You have to wait till the next day. So now, since it says L'macharos, the second day, the presumption is that we're talking about a case in which they already deliberated on the first day, and now they're convening on the second day. And what is the purpose of the convening? The purpose is for Gemar Din. So you see how brilliantly he found a proof? It's a brilliant proof. So let's see. The procedure is that change is possible, change is permitted, but only in one direction. That is to say that the one who's Malami Chov, if he wants to change his chus on this day of Gemar Din, is permitted to do so. But the one who argued for chus, for acquittal, is not permitted to change his position to Chov. Aha! So now we've located. This is what we're looking for. Because we want to see what's the principle of the Mishnah that the Malami Chus cannot change to Chov. Is that only limited to the Masu Matan? Or is that also at Gemara Din? Oh, so we found the place. L'machras. What's L'machras? L'machras is Gemara Din. That's the conclusion of the Din. And this principle is being stated. It's perfect. It's exactly what we're looking for. It's a question on Rav. Rashi, L'machras, it's a Mishnah in Perikei Bodkin, which is important. I told you guys to always look it up. Gabe halonas din. Halonas din now means when you have to wait overnight. That's all he says. Okay. Fine. All right. So the question, of course, was that Macharas, the next day, is convening for Gemara Din. So this is a question on Rav. But this is now, what's the answer? One second. V'latameich. But according to you, L'machras Masa Umatan Mileka. Are you saying? Are you maintaining that on the Macharas, on the next day, that there's no Masa Umatan? Kikatani Bishas Masa Umatan. When is this learned? When is this stated? That is to say, the Mishnah included a statement pertaining to the Machras. Right? So, what was it saying? It was saying that that the Melamed Chav can switch his position and be Melamed Schus. But the Melamed Schus can't change his position to Chav. And it's referring to Machras. And he's saying, and Machras is Gemar Din. So therefore, the Havamin is learning, the questioner is learning, that this statement is meant to apply to the time of Gemar Din. And it's telling you that even at the time of Gemar Din, you can't change from Schus to Chav. So the other position, the one that's defending Rav, and maintaining that this is not a proof. Because according to you, in order for you to maintain that, you'd have to say that tomorrow there's no Masa Matan. If that were the case, that there were no Masa Matan, and the only thing that they could possibly be doing is Gemar Din, and they made this qualifying statement, then you'd have a proof. But he's saying, are you going to go so far as to say that there's no Masa Matan? No, apparently. You're not going to say that. So if you're going to say that there's Masa Matan on the second day, so then there's no proof. Well, I'll say, therefore, that this statement, which prohibits the change, is a reference to the Masa Matan of the second day, but Gemara Din could change. You have no proof otherwise. That's the Machlokas. You got that, everybody? This answer that on the second day, I challenge you, is there Masa Matan? No, there is Masa Matan. So what's your proof? Because you're finding this statement, which prohibits change, from Schus to Chav at the time of Masa Matan. So, if that's the case, what was the basis for the question? The answer is very strong. In retrospect, the question, what was the questioner thinking? What was the question? If it's that question, it's that simple to get out of it, then it's not a real question. But obviously it is a real question. So now we have to see if we can understand what the argument, the underlying issue is. Why would the way I would frame it is, why would the one who asked the question, what was his thought? Was he saying that there is no Masa Matan on the second day? I'm not sure. If he's saying that, so then why did he come back with that? Then he should have, if his point was that on the second day there's no Masa Matan. The only way the question now, the only way the question now seems feasible is if you assume that on the second day it's just Gemar Din, it's convening for Gemar Din, and there's no Masa Matan. And so therefore, okay, so that if that's the way you hold, if that was the position of the one who asked the question, so then why did he just abandon his position? Why did he continue to argue? But the one who answers it says, according to you, are you maintaining there's no Masa Matan? The sense you get is, no, you can't be maintaining that. So if you can't maintain that, then you don't have a question. So if that's the case, well, what was the question to begin with? In general, before we go further, in this type of a Gemara, we have to define, obviously, the issue. This is an issue as to whether the Melamed Chus can be Chos or Melamed Chov at the time of the Gemara Din. We all agree that there's a restriction, that he can't do that, and everybody agrees that it applies during Masa Matan. The question is it only during Masa Matan, but then he can change in the Gemara Din, or no? The other side seems to be questioning that and saying that he can't even change in the Gemara Din. So one thing you have to do is just consider the issue. the so-called machlokas. We'll treat it as a machlokas, two positions. What determines whether you can change at the time of Gemara Din or whether you can't change at the time of Gemara Din? Then the Gemara starts asking questions, proofs. It's bringing proofs, and it's rejecting those proofs. That's a different, each one constitutes a different kind of an issue with regard to the source, how to interpret that source. That's not the same machlokas. You see? The argument as to whether this source proves this position or that position is not based upon the same idea in terms of the basic machlokas itself. You follow what I'm saying? You can't say he chooses to learn this way because he agrees with Rav. He chooses to learn, you can't say that. Because it's a separate question now as to whether the source we just mentioned is to be interpreted this way or that way. That's a separate question. You follow? So we have a series now of attempts to question and then rebuttals. Each one is going to have its own issue behind it, its own definition behind it. Okay? Rashi's explanation that it's a svara, that it's part of the Hitzilu, and it makes sense that if he's stuck with this position, so he'll put all of his energies into finding proofs for it, and maybe he'll find the correct proof for it. That explanation is in line, very much in line, with what Rav is saying. That is, it's an attempt to increase the possibility of finding source. But there's nothing in that explanation that would lead you to the conclusion that he has to stick with that position. To the contrary, he's saying he sticks with the position in order to maintain it and justify it. What if he can't justify it? The obvious conclusion seems to be that if he can't justify it, he's going to let it go. But there's nothing in that position that he's Yom Vavarav that indicates that it would have to be that way in Gemara Din. As I say, to the contrary, if anything. So there's no idea of Yama Budvarav per se, it's just that he has to maintain his position. It's just a device to try and increase the possibilities that we'll find a real schus. But that itself tells you that it has to be a real schus.
Yeah.
We're going to go through the Ran, Medushi Aran. That's on Daf Tei in the Ran. So it's the bottom, the last two lines of the first column. Aval B'shas Gemar Din. But at the time of the Gemara Din, Malamed Tzfus, Chozer, Umalamed Chovah. He can switch his position and be Malamed Chovah. Ikel Medak, one should analyze. Umaitama, demand the Pligi, Olea the Rav. She'eno Chozer, Umalamed Elav Chovah, B'shas Gemara Din. See, for starters, he seems to take the position of Rav, that the position of Rav seems to make more sense. Why can't he change his mind at the time of the Gemara Din? That is, he's asking a question on the one who argues with Rav. How is it possible that the Din should be concluded for Schus? Even though he changed his mind. And his own position is that he believes he's guilty. That's a strong question. What are you telling a person to do? To paskin a case and not in accordance with what he thinks? At this point in time, if he thinks that he's guilty, how is he going to paskin that he's innocent? So that's what's bothering the Rai, that position. V'yesh lomar, the spirulei, laman, the poligalei, the rav, that you could say that the svara of the one who argues with Rav is d'chihechi d'im yatsmi bezin zakai, that just like we say that if a person went out of bezin zakai v'achakach ro kulam tamach alachova, and afterwards everybody realized that they were wrong, that he's really guilty, but we said she'ein machzirin oso, we've learned that already, that if he's found innocent in court, so he can't be retried, even if they're convinced they made a mistake. Uchri alfinin, as we learn out, mean naki v'tzadik altarav. That is, naki v'tzadik. Tzadik means nesadik b'din, that he was found innocent in the court. Hachinami neima, same idea. He wants to associate this position, is connected to that idea. The one who holds that even at the time of the Gemara Din, he can't change, techov, once he's found him innocent, is connected to this idea. So let us say here too, b'chol echad v'echad mehabezdin, each and every member of the bezdin, the kivon shen is daka al pi dinzeh, that since this person was found innocent in accordance with this din, with your particular psak, he's found to be innocent, he efshalachzor v'liton olav chova. That the same would be true, that it's impossible to change and to argue for chov. Elim kein ta b'davish atzlukim modimbo. Okay, fine. Unless the Dayan realized that he made a mistake on something which the Tzedukim agreed to. Because that the same would be true if the whole Bezdin found an innocent and they made a mistake regarding something that the Tzedukim are moded to, so then we said that the Psak is overturned. Because Zil Kari Beirav, because it doesn't have the status of being a Maisa Hora. The Baha'i Gav Nenami Hadri Bahu Kulu Bezdin Meschus Lechova. Because if this were the case, then on the basis of such a mistake, the entire Bezdin can switch from Schus Lechova. Umishum Haitama, and because of this reason, Hayukos from Divrei Hamazaken, because of this reason, they would actually write down the Sofrim, the scribes, and the Be'er Sanhedrin. They would write down each person's position. They would also write down the reason that he gives for his position. So that he could not go back and say, Ta'isi b'davash atzlukim odim bo. L'man d'sfira d'eino yochol lachzabo. That is to say, according to the one who holds, that he can't change his position, so to prevent him from saying that he made a mistake on a davish atzlukim odim bo, when in fact he didn't, it wasn't that case, so he used to write down the top. The Aliba de Rav, Hayukos from Divrei HaMazakin, and according to Rav, they would write the words of the Mazakin, Kadesh lo Yomru, Shnayim Tam Echod Mishnei Mikros. Alright, that's a different issue. We haven't gotten to that point yet. That's not really that significant, why they would actually write down the reasons. That's just an issue that comes up after you've taken your position. But this is the basis. This is the way the Ran wants to interpret the Machlokas. He's attaching the position that you can't change. He wants to say that the one who held, that argues with Rav, that one who was Malame Tzchus, that found him innocent, can't be Chozer. And even at the time of the Gemara Din, it's related to the idea that where the entire Bezdin finds him, majority finds him, to be innocent, then we say, even if they realize they were wrong and they want to change, they made a mistake, they can't bring him back. They can't bring him back because Naki Vitzadik Altara. Misha Vitzadik Bedin. And as long as the mistake was not on a Davash Hatzlukim Odim Bo, you have a Chaloshen Tzadik. Now he wants to say, and this is as far as he's going, you have to figure out the rest. Arishon doesn't give a complete explanation the way he leads you, he hints. He doesn't give the complete explanation the way we would like to understand it. That's our task. But he's sort of putting you in the ballpark. He's telling you what the issue is. So the question now is, and I'm posing it to you. All right, given that that's the case, that we have such a halacha which pertains to the entire Bezdin, what determines whether you would now say that the same, logically, there's a connection between that fact and the fact that each individual, a dayan, is now limited in the same way. Sort of like a mini, each one is sort of like a court of his own, so to speak. And just like the entire court, if he finds you innocent, can't change, so too, each particular dayan, if he found you innocent, even in the Masa Matan, he can't change. What's the idea? The big problem would seem to be that it's not the same thing. That in the case where the Sanhedrin found him to be innocent, so that's a Gemar Din, that's a Psak, and there's a Chaloshen and the Gavra. That's significant. So then he has a shame tzaddik. Now we're saying Nakivit tzaddik altara. That we understand. But at this point in time, because one dayan voted, or whatever it was, expressed an opinion. Not even voted. We don't know what he expressed an opinion of schus. So it doesn't give him the shame. That's hard to say. That now he has a shame tzaddik. That doesn't make sense, because the shame, what is it? You can't say that the some people are saying he's innocent, so he has a shame tzaddik. Some are saying he's guilty, he has a shame rasha. Well, the two shame also fighting with each other. I mean, that idea of a shame doesn't seem to come into the picture until there's a conclusion. The conclusion can only be done by the Sanhedrin. Only the Sanhedrin can create the shame. So he's saying, you can see some similarity to it, but it's still not completely understandable. Clearly, this is not the way Rashi is learning. You couldn't come to this conclusion from Rashi, because Rashi said it's just a mechanism that we employ to ensure that there'll be a greater effort to find schus, or to strengthen the schus, mahapach, achas schusim, to work hard to establish a schus. Now, according to that, there's nothing in that svar that says that he couldn't change the shasmar then. To the contrary, it's just for the sake of the masumata. Clearly, that's not what the Ran is saying. But the Ran is not arguing. The Ran is simply explaining, according to the other point of view, according to the position, which holds that he can't change even at the Gemara Din. He doesn't agree with Rashi's time, obviously. It's not a mechanism, you see. So it's a big machlokus then. Rashi on the Mishnah is giving the explanation that's in accordance with Rav, because we pass like Rav. But the position of the other one, the one who argues on Rav, which is rejected. So you see, so Rashi's not going to give you that position in the Mishnah. But the Ran over here is suggesting that he approached this thing entirely differently. That this halacha of the Mishnah, see, apparently there's an issue in the Gemara. This is halacha in the Mishnah, that Malame the Schus cannot change his position to Chov. So how do we understand that? So the Ran is suggesting that it's connected to this concept of Nitzadik Bedin. And if you hold that way, then once you're Malame the Schus, you can't change even at the time the Gemara is in. But of course, we have to work hard to understand it more clearly.